It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
Introduce a little anarchy, upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I am an agent of chaos. Joker, The Dark Knight, 2008. By the way, great movie, but that's a whole other thing. And if you're hearing roar again and you think this is a repeat of last week, don't change the station, don't pause the video. This is just an extension, a part two of last week's episode. I am Danielle M. Orsino, and welcome to another episode of Once Upon an Author. Now, once upon a time in 2017, I made the choice to become an author. And everything started to move. Sometimes it moved into place, and other times it just fell. It didn't really go anywhere except into total chaos. It wasn't smooth sailing. As I said, I kind of gave you a little spoiler. I write really bad sex scenes, and I found that out. We're going to get into that, trust me. I learned a lot about the industry. A lot about the industry. The underbelly was exposed. And I made a ton of mistakes. And the next couple episodes are going to be about that. I also learned about myself. I cannot write in silence. God bless those people that can just sit there and write in silence. I can't do it. I need RuPaul's Drag Race going on in the background, The Real Housewives. I just need white noise of some kind. I like the arguments. I like the pettiness. I'm all about it. Put on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't care what season. Really, the last two seasons have been the best. I mean, let's be honest. But that white noise just helps me tune everything else out. Mainly the other voices in my head that I don't want to listen to because there's just so many of them, and get to what I really need to do. I also figured out I like creating playlists. That really helps me. So I kind of do this. I go on Spotify and I figure out this emotional crescendo that the book is going to take, and I make playlists. And I sometimes have that going on top of The Real Housewives or RuPaul or whatever I'm watching or just listening to. I have all of that going on. It's kind of like being in my head only on the outside. So you can imagine the chaos that is happening. That's what's going on. And like I said, one of the biggest lessons I learned is I absolutely suck at writing sex scenes. I'm embarrassed to write them. The first one I ever wrote, which will be in volume two, Birth of a Succubus, I stared at that blank page for probably about a month. I literally got the first kiss in and then just stared at it. Now, there were a couple things going on with this, and this is what I learned about the industry. If you write specific anatomical parts, it moves you into romance erotica. So you can only use terms a certain amount of times, which I didn't know. I also figured out I didn't want to write terms, anatomical terms. I wanted to leave it more closed-doored kind of thing, but being that it's called Birth of a Succubus, I had to get into things. So this took me a while, and I kept rewriting. Now, I did what I did for my fight scenes. No, I did not make a porno. I did videotape things, but what I videotaped was I figured out I wanted to make it athletic. I know this sounds really weird, but when you read the book, you'll totally get it. So there's a scene with Morgan and Graham. Those are my two main characters. And Morgan just can't remove clothes the way a normal person would. She's got to be athletic because she's a martial artist. So she kind of does this yoga thing. And I couldn't figure it out because Graham is 6'5" and Morgan is 5'1". So I did this whole acrobatic thing. And my patient happens to be 6'5". And I got my husband's permission. Don't worry about it. So I had him come over with sweatpants. He had clothes underneath. So once again, like, you know, don't judge me. And we sat there trying to figure this out. By the end of it, my back hurt. I was sore. And I figured out Morgan must be in great shape to be pulling this move off. But basically, it was a split with a back bend, a whole thing. But we figured it out. And I was taking notes the whole time. His legs cramped up, my back cramped up. Like I said, it was a whole thing. But if I made it more me and more athletic, I was able to get through the scene. I know that sounds weird. And like I said, one of these days I will read you part of the scene when we get further down the line and you'll get what I'm saying. But I realized I still had to make these sex scenes more me and less what I thought a novel sex scene should be. Kind of that fantastical, you know, Fabio romance thing. I had to get away from that because then it wasn't me. And I was blushing and getting embarrassed. Look, even when I listen to some of these things, like I listen to Laurel K. Hamilton, I fast forward through them because I'm like, if somebody listens and overhears what I'm listening to, oh my gosh, I blush. So I had to get over a lot of this. And the only way I could was making it more me, which is getting into the chaos part of it. So I had to make it chaotic by acting certain things out within reason, people, within reason. Get your mind out of the gutter there. I know that's where you're going. Back it up. We ain't doing that. So I added some athletics, some downward dog, you know, upward dog kind of yogic poses and wound up going with that. And yes, Morgan is sarcastic through the whole thing. I injected a little more me, no pun intended, and went that way. And that helped. But even getting into it, it was still very chaotic. And the sex scene that I wrote was part of the contention from that editor that I told you about. This was the reason why she told me to burn the whole book, was the sex scene. Because I didn't call certain parts anatomical names. I gave them different names. Not like that, you know what I mean? I didn't call them the usual things that you read in these books. I kind of got away from it. Like I said, when you read it and when I read it out loud to you, you'll get what I mean. It's also urban fantasy. So there's a magical element to this whole thing. I know it sounds weird, but just go with me. Just trust me on this. But as I kept writing, I was improving. I kind of started finding my rhythm, getting a little better, crafting more complex scenes. But I also started to embrace the unpredictability of writing things. I was writing about angels, fae, mythology, bringing them all together. What I didn't plan on was the controversy that would follow. I didn't realize when you mix fantasy, mythology, and religion, what would come with it. And that was pure chaos. And I became a full-fledged agent of chaos when the book was released. Many people were upset with me because I was taking on such a sensitive subject, which I did not realize was sensitive at the time. And this is how I wound up on blasphemy lists, which will be a whole episode in itself. I got death threats. I had people follow me at one point, parked outside my home. I tipped the apple cart over. I tipped the apple cart over. And at one point, I did try to defend myself. But that's the worst mistake you could make, trying to defend yourself, because you just look more guilty as you're doing it. So I had to throw that all away. And I had to embrace the fact that I had become this agent of chaos. I found out that little quotes in your book, it doesn't matter how you think they were meant as the author. People are going to take them and interpret them however they want and use them however they want. I got written up by my job as personal trainer because I put a quote out from, I believe it's from book two, from Nine Eyes of Mercy. And Jarvok says he sees Aurora doing something where she's taking her armor off after they've signed the treaty. And he says, what are you doing? And she says, I don't think we're ever going to spill blood again. I'm safe in us signing the treaty. And he says, well, that's the problem with a bleeding heart. Eventually it bleeds out. Well, some political pundit took that quote and ran with it on their radio station. Put it everywhere. Said that I understood their side. I'm not going to get into what side. I stay away from politics. I got in trouble because in the job, my employer's eyes, I put a political stance forward. I got written up. I had to take everything down. And that's when I realized, even though it didn't mean anything about that, people are going to take what they want from you. Once again, agent of chaos, there I am. I'm a wrecking ball. So be it. But people will take quotes and use them for their own cause, and you just kind of have to accept it. You can't change anybody's mind. You just have to go with it. So I did. I also learned a lot about perseverance. Despite all my setbacks, rejections, I kept writing. And that's when I realized I am a chaos writer. I don't write in order, as I've said. I don't go in with a full plan. It's not like I sit here and think, okay, this character is going to do A, then B is going to happen. I just let it flow and the plot kind of develops from there. I do like writing Easter eggs. I've said this before. I like popping those in. But I just write until something happens. So in a way, I kind of found my roar, and that was the turning point. But the craziest thing that came out of all this was a moment of complete and utter chaos that happened at my old job. As I said, I was a personal trainer and I worked at a gym. We jokingly referred to it as Satan's doorstep because it was not fun. But the people I worked with were absolutely lovely people. I loved every single one of them. But it was an explosion of chaos that gifted me with one of the greatest sayings and actually cemented the entire Birth of the Faith series with one line. And it came from this tornado of chaos, which we're going to talk about right after we come back from this very special PSA. Take a listen.
Imagine waking up, unable to lift your arms, open your eyes fully, or even smile. For the thousands living with the rare autoimmune disease myasthenia gravis, this is reality every day. Myasthenia gravis weakens muscles, turning simple tasks into daily struggles. But there's hope. Advancements in treatments and support from organizations like the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America offer MG patients and their families a brighter future. Together, we're fighting for a world without myasthenia gravis. To learn more about this disease or make a gift to support research and education, visit the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America website at myasthenia.org. That's myasthenia.org.
Okay, so I've already built this up, that this incident at my old job led to my big light bulb moment. So here's what happened. As I said, I was a personal trainer. So at my job, you had to clean. That was your thing. Like, the members were supposed to clean. That's why we kept our prices low, blah, blah, blah. But we all had to clean. So one day I was cleaning in the back, way in the back. And someone comes running up to me and says, Danny, you got to get to the front. There's a huge commotion going on. There was always a commotion here. So I go walking up front and then they're like, no, hurry up. And I hear yelling. Okay, now I pick up the pace. I run to the front. I see one of our members who was a former Golden Gloves boxer yelling at one of our staff members. And I see her yelling back, but I can see her also holding back the tears. And I know something's going on. So I get up there and the desk separating the two of them is probably about 3 feet. And I see him literally reaching across the table, the desk at her. And I get in between and I go, what's going on? And he's wearing a huge cross, this big silver cross, this crucifix. And he's yelling at her and he's asking her which bathroom she uses. And then it clicks. My friend, we're going to call her Jane, is transgender. She was mid-surgery. And he's yelling at her, which bathroom do you use? You're an abomination, all these things. So So I put my arm around Jane and I say, I don't know who you're talking to, but I only see my beautiful girlfriend, Jane. What is the problem? And he refers to Jane as a him. Once again, I say, I don't see a him. I only see my beautiful girlfriend, Jane. Jane is perfectly capable of handling herself. She's yelling back. Well, now he's trying to grab her. Now there's swinging involved. I'm good. I'm not so good that I'm going to handle a Golden Gloves boxer. He's a rated fighter. He'd been in rehab. He'd had a bad injury. He found God. You get where I'm going with this, people. It's getting bad now. People are stopping to watch. He's trying to grab. She's getting upset. She's got the phone. She's ready to swing it. I look at her. I say, call security. Security wants nothing to do with this. Mall security, because we're in a mall, wants nothing to do with this. I tell her, call the cops. Cops are two blocks away. She calls the cops. He's still screaming. He's yelling profanities and horrible stuff at her. But he's getting violent. Like I said, I'm good. I'm not taking on a Golden Gloves boxer, but he's ready to start swinging. I put her behind me. And I look at him and I say, you're a man of God, right? And he goes, yes, I am. And he starts spouting stuff. Now, off the top of my head, I look at him and I say, well, free speech, right? I said, you can say whatever you want. I can say whatever I want. I said, but we don't practice hate. And what you're spewing is hate. He says, no, it's not. It's the word of God. All right. We go back and forth on religion. Still don't know why I say this. So now we're in pure chaos. And when I mean chaos, I mean things are starting to get thrown. She's threatening to throw things. He's threatening to kick her butt. It's getting bad. She calls the cops. So I look at him. I say, you worship. He says, yes, I do. It was interesting. I said, I worship the Fae. Now, this whole time, I had been looking for a prayer to say to cement the dark Fae. And I was stuck on it. I couldn't find it. So he goes, the who? I go, the Fae. I worship the house of the Fae. I'm just making stuff up. I'm trying to diffuse this as best I can. Well, Jane looks over my shoulder, kind of whispers to me. She goes, you better have a plan because I don't know where you're going with this. I go, I got it. I got it. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I don't got this. I said, look, if I want to piss on a daisy, call it rain, I could do whatever I want because I worship the Fae. I said, when you go to church, you say peace be with you, right? Well, just then the cop walks in on this conversation. I said, well, when I go to the Church of the Fae, I say, chaos be with you. The cop looks at me dead serious and goes, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I watched the show too. Love that show. Well, it's not from Sabrina. I just made it up. He goes, oh, I love the show. Did you see last week's episode? And I stop and I look at the cop. I go, yeah. He's like, do you get what's going on? I mean, the statue. And he starts going on. And I'm like, officer, we got a problem here. Well, the guy looks at me. He goes, what are you talking? Chaos be with you? Well, it stops him from yelling and it de-escalates for a second. Enough that my friend can go talk to the cop and tell him what's going on. Well, the cop's still talking about Sabrina, but they're talking. The guy in front of me is asking me what chaos be with you means because he now thinks I worship Satan. I start telling him, no, chaos be with you means don't let destiny rule you. Let destiny rule you. Don't let chaos. Don't let chaos lead you like a pet on a leash. Take control of your destiny. That's what it means. I'm making all this crap up, people. I am just trying to get this guy not to hit me or my friend. He stops and he's looking at me and he's like, I say peace be with you. I'm like, I say chaos be with you. That's free speech. We're allowed to do it, but we're not spewing hate. Cop comes back over. Jane has told him everything that's happened. Comes over, tells the guy, you can't be doing this. They start arguing again, whatever. Cop says, look, you got to go. Guy says, I'm not leaving. She's an abomination. The whole thing starts all over again. Cop cuffs him, looks at me and turns around. He goes, have a great day, ladies. He goes, chaos be with you. He goes, God, I love that show. Turns around, walks away. My friend looks at me. She goes, chaos be with you. Well, my friend Jacob runs up, who'd been hearing the whole thing. And he looks at me. He goes, I guess you found your dark fae prayer, didn't you? And I look at him. I go, I guess I did. So for the rest of the day, every time somebody left, everybody at the gym was saying, chaos be with you. That became the dark fae prayer in Birth of the Fae and cemented it. So whenever the Fae go on a mission for the Dark Fae, they say, chaos be with you. And the line I took was, do not let chaos lead you like a pet on a leash. Take control of your destiny. Chaos should not be your destiny. If you let chaos control you, you become an agent of chaos. Instead, control chaos and you control your destiny. That all came from that fight and that moment. No one knows this story. No one knows where Chaos Be With You came from. You're the first to hear this. That all came from that moment of crazy chaos. It goes to show that you never know what's going to happen. I was lucky. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to defuse the situation. And I didn't want to get hit. I didn't want my friend to get hit. I was waiting for the cop to get here. I just find it funny that the cop was talking to me about Sabrina and wanted to talk about a Netflix show. I thought that was kind of cute. I got to give the cop credit. But my point is, sometimes being an agent of chaos and thinking outside the box can lead to amazing things. Now, in the Joker's case, maybe not so much, but in other instances, it can work for you. So sometimes going outside of the lines can work. In my case, in this particular situation, it did. And honestly, in writing the series, going outside the lines has worked for me. Have I made mistakes? 110%. I've made a lot of mistakes. Sometimes my ego has gotten in the way, and that's where my mistakes have come from. Sometimes it has been going outside the lines. You really have to find the balance in all of it. It's not an easy thing to do. You kind of have to walk this line and figure out when you can embrace chaos and take control of it. Because that's the thing with chaos. It's kind of like you've got a tiger by the tail and you got to know what you're dancing with. My methodology is more chaotic. I know other people's that cannot deal with chaos. They need everything written out. They need their outline done. It's got to be perfect. That's cool for them. You introduce a little bit of chaos to them and they just lose it. What I'm trying to say is sometimes a little bit of chaos is good. Probably a little bit of order for me. That would be my chaos. That would work for me. In probably some way, I could probably learn to do that. Sometimes you have to go opposite and that's your chaotic moment. So you need to kind of work with it a little bit. But just when you think things are really bad or something that has nothing to do with writing is happening, it actually can. And it can help you. So for a writer's tip, I would say, trust your instincts, first of all. Writing isn't about perfection. It's about finding your voice, telling your story. And telling it the only way you can tell. But with that, it's through the chaos and the mistakes, the bad advice, that I've learned one thing, and that I think you can too. We're meant to evolve. Sometimes the process looks messy. Okay, in my case, most of the times it looks really messy. But that's where all the magic happens. You just have to trust yourself enough to keep going. And sometimes you can be your own creature of chaos. And I think that's really important. And that's what being an agent of chaos is. It's not about changing the system. It's about changing your system and figuring those little moments out because they can be magical. You just have to stop and trust yourself enough to know that you can kind of look outside. Just for a minute and find it. That's from a writing perspective. But from a personal perspective, before we close the chapter on this episode, what's the one moment in your life where you had to embrace the chaos and find your roar? How did it change you? And what did you learn from it? Was there a moment where you had to color outside the lines? Did something happen where you didn't take your usual path, where maybe you had to stop, take a breath, and go a different route, where it wasn't your usual response? Maybe the situation forced you there was so much chaos, you had to just think and react. It wasn't something that you could sit there and strategize how you normally would. You just went with it. It was more reflex. Boom, you got it, you go. What did you learn from that moment? Are you somebody who works better in chaos? If you're somebody who does work better in chaos, maybe going the other way, what happened then? If you're somebody who works in structure, what happens when you do go and you do catch yourself in a chaotic situation? What happens then? Have you been in that? If you haven't, can you put yourself in a situation safely that you can learn something from it? I find that chaos works for me. It just does. I think on my feet a little bit quicker. I can usually come up with my best ideas that way. Heck, this whole idea for this series came up really out of chaos in a way. I never expected to meet the patient. I had to give everything else up to do this. This is still chaos to me. Even doing this show, this is still chaos. I'm still kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I'm learning as I go because I've always been a co-host. So how are you doing it? How are you embracing chaos? My dark fae prayer is chaos be with you. So I will always leave people with that thought of chaos be with you. Control your destiny and control your chaos. Don't let it lead you. When you find yourself in a chaotic situation, you're still in control. So if this has maybe sparked your interest in the books, you can always find the Birth of the Fae series on Amazon. They are all on Audible. The entire series is done in audio, so you can binge the series. I am re-releasing the series in the director's cut one by one. So far, we are up to From the Ashes, which is book 3. The novella, In Order, comes out in January. Book 4, you gotta wait till March, guys, Kingdom Come. But don't worry, I'll be getting them all out so you can read Birth of the Succubus in 2025. I've already gotten everything together for that. So that will be out and you can read how bad my sex scene is then. You can always keep up with me on Instagram at DM Orsino Author. You can check out these podcasts on the WWDB website, their Facebook page, or you can check out on YouTube at Danielle M Orsino Author, where you can catch these and then little tidbits about the books, including book trailers and little shorts that show my dragon illustrations. Coming up next week, we're going to discuss everything that went wrong with the first edition, including what is still going wrong today, to this very moment, with the first edition. Yes, that book has followed me, and it probably will to the grave. We'll discuss all of that next week as we get closer to the holidays. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you guys next week here on Once Upon an Author. Have a great day.